Welcome to the Michigan Opportunity, an economic development podcast featuring candid conversations with business leaders across Michigan. You'll hear firsthand accounts from Michigan business leaders and innovators about how the state is driving job growth and business investment, supporting a thriving entrepreneurial ecosystem, building vibrant communities, and helping to attract and retain one of the most diverse and significant workforces in the nation.
Hello, I'm your host, Ed Clementi, and today we're fortunate to have a longtime friend, John Walsh. He's the president and CEO of the Michigan Manufacturers Association. Welcome to the show, John.
Thanks, Ed. Really glad to be here and glad to be catching up with you.
Yeah. Well, we had a lot of overlap. We served in the House. I think my last term was your first term, maybe.
That is correct.
Remember. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And we were also on the same floor in where our offices were, so we got to bump into each other quite a bit. And you're always like one of the, like, I think both of us would have been in the same party at some point because we both were sort of moderate. We both were open-minded, I think, somewhat.
Right. Closer to the middle than the outsides, that's for
outsides,
sure.
Yeah. So it was always a pleasure when we did work together. Let's talk a little bit about the Michigan Manufacturers Association. I mean, I'm very familiar with them, but not everybody else might be. So what does it mean what does the association really sort of consider their membership or vision?
Sure. Well, I can tell you that we started in 1902, founded by a few members that still are around to this day. GM and Kellogg, Dow, and a few others were the initial members. Our number one function is to work on advocacy, to work with the legislature and the administration to find ways that can help promote an environment for the state of Michigan that brings manufacturers here and keeps them here healthy, creating good jobs, helping their communities, and literally at this point, producing things that are used around the world in everyday life. And then in addition to that, over the years, we started to add things like business services. So our members are everything from a 20-person tool and die right up to the largest companies that are here in Michigan, our largest automotive and furniture manufacturers and everything in between. And the services held primarily are small and middle because they always, they're not always able to achieve a rate from an insurance company, for instance. Or to secure a discount on propane, any number of items. So we have arranged 22 different services for our members to help them, again, thrive here in Michigan as manufacturers. And then our last big piece, and it's growing every day, is that connectivity between the company, the employer, and the workforce, the individual that wants to work with their hands, finding their way into the proper training and preparation, helping the manufacturers find those individuals or the tools to train them on site or through our awesome community colleges and other programs. So for us, it's really advocacy, business services, and connectivity, if you put those all together.
Yeah, no. It's a great definition. And one of the more fun things on the show is when people send me their bios. I didn't know you did all these other things ahead of time, but like I can kind of walk through them, but can you walk us even before, like you and I mentioned, we're at the state rep, but you were originally, were you a consultant at like Unisys? I can't remember where you started originally. Right.
So yeah, I went to Michigan State for undergrad, Wayne State for law school, and started my career as a lawyer with what was then Burroughs Corporation.
Oh yeah, Burroughs.
And after that, it became Unisys. That was the first merger that I worked on back then. It was the fourth largest merger. It is not even a footnote today. That was back when things were kind of rare. But from there, it was a wonderful career. I practiced merger and acquisition law for many years in Detroit, Michigan, and then moved on to Schoolcraft College, serendipitous opportunity, did their external affairs work and worked with their foundation, but also grew into more of an operational role and ran a variety of programs and functions that supported the college. And in a, again, another strange twist of a career, I ended up running their culinary arts program.
I thought that, I saw that in there. I just thought maybe it was like a something. I didn't know what it was, but
it's true. I think they used me as the example of what not to do in a kitchen. My job simply was to make sure the chefs were happy. The students were happy. The curriculum, not so much the cooking, but that we were meeting the requirements of having the curriculum and
for accreditation and things like that.
Exactly. Well,
and you and I, you know, I was a trustee for Wayne County Community College.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know we had the culinary program. I know all the, there's food things with the health departments. There's so many things involved.
And it was a great, it was a really unique time of my life to have that really welcome opportunity to do it. And then I was bit by the public service bug. I'd always been at the local council level involved, but the state was about ready to fall into the...
Wait, you were in city council?
I was in Livonia. Yep.
Oh, okay. All right, great.
The state was about ready to fall into the Great Recession, and I was really concerned with some of the decisions that were being made in Lansing and thought I could make a difference, and tried and was elected and served in the House for 6 years. And then, you know, of course, that's where you and I met. And then... later was asked by Governor Snyder to join his cabinet, first as his strategy director, and then as the budget director for the state of Michigan. And that ultimately led to this position at the MMA. So
I think you skipped one, the Detroit Partners.
Oh, yeah. Partnership. So, right. I'm sorry. So after working with the Governor Snyder's administration, I had an opportunity to spend a year down in Detroit with the Detroit Downtown Detroit Partnership, and great opportunity. But the MMA came along and it was a little better fit.
Brought
me back to Lansing. And while I miss Detroit and still try to do things to help that city and its continued recovery and improvement and really awesome evolution, I'm where I'm supposed to be with the MMA.
Yeah, no. And I know that you're doing a great job there and you work pretty closely with the head of our organization, Quentin Messer. I know you guys have talked quite a bit during this whole sort of resurgence of manufacturing again, you know, at a national level.
Absolutely. And Ed, second only to your hire at the MEDC, Quentin was a great hire for the MEDC, and I've grown to know him both personally and professionally, and I'm honored to have that friendship and relationship with him because he is absolutely focused on the state. What I love about him is there are so many positive things about Michigan, but we just, I can't explain it. We just grind ourselves into the observation of all that is wrong. He helps lift us all up, and he and the entire MEDC understands how important manufacturing is. And so we're all in working with the MEDC. They've been very supportive, not just of the association, but for our members, day in and day out. So we're happy to have him. We're happy to have you and the entire MEDC staff as somebody that we can work with.
Well, you know, I've had Quentin on, as you can imagine, a few times, but I always like to think of him as the guy that sees the forest and not just the trees only. And he sees sort of the bigger picture and what we need to be doing, because obviously came from a different region of the country, and he's obviously has a ton of energy, and you know, and he's in it to play to win, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I think that's the challenge for government always, and even though we're a quasi government, still you need sort of that sort of energy like burst with somebody like him that sort of motivates a lot of other people too.
There's no doubt about it. And I feel it. Our team does here, and our members see it as well. So I think we've got some great opportunities for the future. I love the home field wins that we've had recently, thanks to some leadership from the MEDC and the governor, as well as the legislature. And I'm also looking forward to really bringing home some companies from outside of the state. And I think we're getting close. These are slow things to develop, regrettably, but I do think we're on the field in a way that we haven't been for a number of years.
Well, yeah, you know, we had a guest on not too long ago, but he's sort of head of the Association for Onshoring, and he talks a lot about mainly manufacturing. In fact, he used to work at a factory here in and I think Battle Creek, and but he lives in DC now. But you know, the thing we always forget about is that we had such a richness of manufacturing in the state, for like you said, with like Kellogg's and GM early on, Ford. But I think we sometimes don't realize that everybody's pretty envious of us. So not only are we keeping businesses here, but if they're coming back, there's a lot more competition to sort of, you know, nationally, and even nearshoring too is a challenge.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. It really is something that we don't often talk about, is how we are able to keep what we have. And I think, you know, one of the things that we're trying to do, just to segue for a second, is to work more closely with the MEDC to make sure our small and mid-sized businesses know what's available as well. There are many programs, and I was challenged by Quentin to help get the word out, and I told him we would. And so we do try to, when we're doing our social media or our print media, trying to work with the MEDC to help get the word out about a variety of programs, because going out and hunting for the next big thing is hard work and desirable. We want to do it, but we have to remember the people that are here, small and large, and make sure that they are getting all the assistance they can to be productive.
Well, I mean, I don't think I have had any guest that doesn't obviously sort of bring up the ecosystem of what is involved in manufacturing, and not to just talk about automotive, but like automotive is sort of one of the most complex, like a car is one of the more complex things made, period, especially on such a large scale, and especially such a large physical presence of the vehicle, right? This is not like you're making a phone. So you have so many other players involved, and you know, it's kind of hard to really realize how many little places are throughout the state of Michigan that are somehow very involved with the automotive industry, but you wouldn't recognize them right away. And I'm sure you have a lot of members like that.
It's absolutely true. When I go across the state, so I make a point of trying to be on the road 1 to 2 days a week, visiting with our members or addressing regional manufacturing groups. I'll tell you in no uncertain terms, we make something for everything in the world. There's just no doubt about it. Automotive, of course, is Michigan's lead, but we're heavy in aerospace, food manufacturing and food processing, healthcare products, IT. I could go on. Chemical manufacturing is a big product here. And we're in every single industry you can imagine. It's astounding. And one of my favorite things about this job is driving up to the Upper Peninsula and visiting a small business. And I just picked that location, but it could be anywhere. And visiting somebody that's been there for 2 and 3 generations. And they have families and employees that have been there for 2 and 3 generations. And they're making a widget for something, sometimes basic, other times extraordinarily complex, but it's going somewhere around the world. They're proud of their work. They're proud of each other. It's moving to me when I have that chance to go out and see that.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. I used to run a chamber of commerce downriver. And I was early on when Doug Rothwell came to the MEDC or created it. Our chamber is one of the first ones to do partner with them to do site retention visits, similar to what you're doing. But I would go out as the chamber, you know, president and meet with companies that I didn't even know were in my district. I remember, I can't mention the company, but like it was downriver and they were making parts for missiles for a defense contract.
Yes.
And you know, and like everyone thinks sort of Warren's sort of the hub of, you know, defense contracts.
Yes.
But I was like surprised that it was so, you know, they got to go through, especially with defense contract, and they have to go through so many hoops to even, you know, for background checks and all those things. And but they said, yeah, once you're in, you're good. And so we do have a lot of defense contracting in the state too. In
absolutely.
Which I would have never known if I wouldn't have done these retention calls with the MEDC back then.
It's incredible. When Stellantis opened their new facility in Detroit, I had a chance to meet with a number of their on-site execs. And one of them was from England. And he has been all over the world in his career. Can't remember which. Sometimes it was with Stellantis, was other companies, but he's been everywhere. He said he has never been to a place a region like our state where there was such diversity in the products that we make and the desire to make them, you know, a strong desire to make them. But we don't think of us that way. We pass little companies every day driving through any city or township in the state of Michigan. But if you ever knocked on their door and said, "What are you making in here?" you'd be amazed.
You're listening to The Michigan Opportunity, featuring candid conversations with Michigan business leaders on what makes Michigan a leading state to live, work, and play. Listen to more episodes at michiganbusiness.org/podcast.
Is there any partners or stakeholders too you guys work with a lot? I'm sure you probably partner with a lot of folks besides.
So MEDC is one, of course, you know, as I mentioned, and we really appreciate that partnership. The MMTC, the Michigan Manufacturing Technical Center, we are building what we already have a good relationship. We're building upon that to help promote the programs that they do and the outreach that they can provide and support. We have a megaphone and nearly 2,000 members, and they have services that many of them need. So they've been a great partner to work with. The SME Foundation, which is part of the SME organization, Society of Mechanical Engineers, we have opened nearly 50 programs called Prime. They're in high schools to help capture the imagination of a student to go into the creative field and manufacturing specifically. And with the governor's support and support in the House and Senate, we're hopeful that we'll be able to secure some additional funding to open an additional 16 schools moving forward. We have more prime schools in Michigan as a result than any other. So those are just a couple.
And I would imagine with the universities too, right? Because there are so many engineers in the state.
It's true. So right now, I'll tell you, since I arrived in the last 3 years, our focus has been really on the community college and certificated student because that's where the greatest need is. But I'm literally moments away, you know, I'm being silly for a moment, but we're very close to start working with the universities because today's need is obvious. We need people in the production area that have skilled trades. But it's not long that we can wait to make sure our pipeline for engineers and creators, scientists, to be ready and to stay here in Michigan. So I'm not telling you we don't have partnerships today, but our emphasis has just been on the current need, but we'll soon be turning to the long-term need as well.
Well, you know, recently APEC, the Asian Pacific Economic Cooperation folks were in town. You know, I imagine you might have had a little overlap with them, but it was funny when they came in and I talked to a group of them, but I told them, you know, like the only other U.S. patent office was built here in Detroit because of all the innovation that goes on in this state. If you're an attorney, even I don't think people realize how many intellectual property lawyers are in the state, how that is so critical to that ecosystem too, to be able to own something you create and, you know, with all the different challenges.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. When I was, so I've always touched manufacturing. I was with Burroughs and then Unisys. And as a lawyer, I worked with many of the companies in the automotive sector at Schoolcraft. Part of my duties included securing contracts to do training for the manufacturing industry. So I've always seen it, and I always had to chuckle because California is proud, and they should be, of Silicon Valley and what they have. But I'll tell you that we do as sophisticated, if not more sophisticated work right here in Michigan, both on the invention side and on the production side. But again, because we're Midwesterners, we're just good with it. It's a hard day's work. And we put it in and we went home. But we really should be patting ourselves on the back more because the work that we do here is sophisticated. And you're right, there are tons of patent lawyers here because we are loaded, we're blessed with inventors.
Yeah, and I think they almost have like every automotive industry seems to have a skunk works too, where it's trying to just do other products just because they're doing either basic or applied research that they might be able to find other functions for things that they discover by doing other things almost. But is there any other, you've touched on quite a few, but any other future trends you see for the state that you hadn't had a chance to mention yet?
So things that we see, they are, the first one is both an opportunity and concern as we race toward the EV future and or hydrogen or other alternative fuels. It's very exciting that our industries, our Michigan industries, are at the forefront of that. But we are a little nervous. We're nervous about infrastructure and continue to work with the Whitmer administration, as well as the legislature, and we're always watching what the feds are doing to assure that we're going to have the proper infrastructure in place to support that conversion. It's exciting to our automotive members, but it's also nerve-wracking for those in the supply chain because they have to make some significant decisions. Do they change their production capacity for the EV market, or do they try to transition to defense or aerospace, where they can still use their existing tooling and skill set to produce that product? So we're working closely with them. We bring in a lot of partners to help provide them with some guidance on how they might do one or the other or both moving forward. So that's a huge trend for us. We don't think that autonomous vehicles will be far behind. That was the thing just a few years ago. It's been replaced with the transition to EV, but I'm telling you, as I talk to folks in these skunk works, what they're doing in the back room is going to take us right back to autonomous vehicles no time soon. So we think those are two very exciting opportunities. Energy and watching that carefully, that affects our members. It affects our citizens here. But to be myopic, that's my job, our job here at the MMA. What does it mean for the industry? Manufacturing needs affordable, consistent and reliable energy. Our owners, operators, employees all want it to be clean without exception. Where the debate begins is how quickly can you move off of carbon-based fuels? Can carbon-based fuels be used in a clean and efficient manner with technology? And how will this transition occur? So, you know, we'll continue to work with the legislature and monitor that because it has an ongoing long-term impact for the state. If manufacturers start to feel that our energy is going to become more expensive or unreliable compared to another state, then they may want to move or we may not be able to attract. So as long as we can stay on the competitive edge, work with our energy providers, and again, work with our regulators to make certain that we're being clean, but efficient and reliable, we'll be fine. But we watch that. It's a big trend.
Well, it's the one advantage or maybe disadvantage we had by being in the legislature during one of the worst times possible, except for the Depression. And I think in Michigan, I don't think people take stuff for granted anymore like they used to.
No.
And so much left during that era and housing and all that. So I think people think anything can happen now. So they're more open-minded to realize there are other options to think about. So it's always, it's just a different world. To a little bit, the last couple of questions, you've had quite a few jobs like myself. What would you tell your 17-year-old self to do if you could talk to yourself again?
What I would tell them, and you're right, you know, you and I have gone through different jobs. I always tell people I'm really proud of my history, but apparently I can't keep a job. Yeah. But what I would tell myself, I think, is listen and learn. You know, like any young person, I came out of school and I did listen and learn. I think I've grown and continue to grow. But you come out of school and you think you're all that, you know, in a bag of chips, you're ready to go. Sometimes just listening, you can learn so much. You can learn about what a person really is saying, because sometimes words don't reflect what the true intention is. You know, it's an imperfect form of communication, but it's all that we have using, you know, oral or written words. But you really have to pay attention and taking that moment to digest what the person said. I think, you know, I would tell myself to be open your ears, shut your mouth, you know, more often. The other thing I would say is always to maintain hope. You know, as I mentioned at some point, you know, during the podcast, for some reason here in Michigan, we criticize ourselves more than any other, you know, outside of the state, I think even. But there's so much to be hopeful for. And if we just, you know, this really divided time for any, whatever the reason is, I think just being kind, listening, and hopeful, it may sound really simple, Ed, but I really think it'll help us, you know, represent and recognize who we are and how good we can be and how good we have been.
So that's good advice. And your last question should be simple for you. What do you like best about living in Michigan?
I'll tell you, it's the people. You know, I've had the luxury and the opportunity to travel personally and professionally, and I've met wonderful people, but there's just something about Michigan, and we're willing to put in a good hard day's work, and we're willing to give a hand to anybody. You know, I've been the beneficiary of generosity with a flat tire, for crying out loud. You know, people are really friendly here, and they're hardworking and they're well-intentioned. And for all the blather we have sometimes, right and left, east and west and north and south and industry versus agriculture, I think we all want the right thing, which is success, happiness for our families, a safe place to live, you know, a little lot and a place to park your car. And I really think it's the people.
Well, yeah, we're not on the East Coast, but I can tell you we've had a lot of international delegations in, and especially some Europeans recently, and they said they because they're placed like they're like interns sort of here, and they all said they couldn't believe the pace of how people work in Michigan.
Is it
like you know, it's sort of interesting. I just think we take it for granted, but you know, it's different than where they came from. Let's just say that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, anyway, once again, our guest today was John Walsh, a friend, longtime president and CEO of the Michigan Manufacturers Association. You're doing a great job there, John. I'm glad you're there, and you're doing a good job for the state as well, and appreciate all the work you do.
Thanks, Ed. I appreciate it very much.
Join us next week, where our guest will be Deanna Callahan. She's the managing director for Endeavor, a group that works with growing entrepreneurs.
The Michigan Opportunity is brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion.